Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Did you bring a Bible tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Open with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 10. We'll get into the scripture. Amen. Thank God for a good worship team. I always say there's nothing like a dead worship team, and then you're supposed to do something with the service, you know. Hand me a dead fish and expect me to do something with it. Hallelujah. Thanks a lot. Amen. Aren't you glad to be saved tonight?
Amen.
When you turn on the news, aren't you really glad to be saved tonight? Amen. In God's house there are mercies forevermore. Praise God. Praise God. We pray for America tonight. Amen. Pray God helps us. Things that ought to unite us. Used to be, if there was something hard going on, we would pull together.
Right.
Now we seem to pull apart. But I believe the Lord will help us. Amen.
Amen.
But I don't want to get political, but I will say this. We can see what taking the Bibles out of the schools has brought.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That didn't work.
That
didn't work. So maybe we ought to just start putting them back in.
Yeah.
Amen. Try to fix some problems. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, you know, the church, I love the church, but we get too quiet sometimes.
Right.
And, you know, I guess there's a Supreme Court nominee possibly coming along that sounds like a good Christian person. I don't know the depth of their Christianity, but I thank God. Amen.
Yeah.
I think whether that's the person or not, I just believe that the Lord has the right people in the right place. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray and then I'll start poking around. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise and glory for tonight. We thank you for this church, the other churches, and all the great armor bearers that are here, for those that plow the fields, so to speak, for those that work the nurseries, for those that sacrifice even tonight, they could be doing, quote, their own thing. And yet we're here in your house with your word, your spirit, to be in your presence. Empower us now, Lord Jesus, for this day. Moses had his day. Paul had his day. Peter, James, John had their day. 2020, this is our day. This is the day for the Holy Spirit, for us to have an encounter in the upper room, that we can go out into the highways and the byways and begin to tell of the great power and the great work of the Holy Spirit and the beauty of our Christ and who he is. Give us the avenues, give us the voice, give us, Lord Jesus, the penetration into spirit to get a hold of sinful man by the very soul, not the outside, but by the very soul, by their heart, and to bring them into the kingdom of God. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Did you find Matthew chapter 10 yet?
Yes.
Let's get into the scriptures here. We're going to talk about the helps ministry as I normally do, but look at verse 1 here. It says, and when he, that's Jesus, called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. He gave them power. Everybody who got around Jesus Christ with the right heart, he gave them power. It is not the will of God for us to live our lives powerless. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And without the manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I love this. We'll read on. And then we'll come back here. It says, he gave them power. You should put your name in that them spot. God wants you to have Holy Ghost power. You're not doing something wrong. It's not something abnormal. It's not some special club. You don't, amen? I get ahead of myself. Let's read on. Power over what? Over unclean spirits. Do we have any of those in 2020? My God, we've had a whole year of them. To cast them out, not to summons them up, not to talk to them, entertain them, vote for them, not vote for them, but to cast them out. Hallelujah. And to heal. I like that part. I don't want to see sick people. Amen. I don't want to see hurting people. I want to thank God that Jesus Christ cares about my flesh, my mortal body. Amen. It might be old and gray, but hallelujah, he likes it. Praise God. Amen. You didn't have to amen all of that, but hallelujah. To heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. Look at verse 2. First Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Now, just pause for just a minute, okay? This is the part I really love. When Jesus met Peter, James, and John, what were they? Fishermen. Do you know what fishermen smell like? Even if you only catch one and you put it back, you know, for the rest of the day, you know what you smell? If you walk into the house, gentlemen, like that, you know what your wife smells? She don't smell your cologne. She don't think you're so wonderful. When I was a kid, my father took me. I was probably 12 years old, maybe a little bit younger than that. But my dad always liked to be with the dad. Amen. You know, boys always like to be with their dad. Hallelujah. And so he had a bunch of trash he was taking up to the dump. Wasn't very far away, so he put me on the wagon. He was on the tractor, and I just kind of rode on the back with the wagon to keep everything from rolling over and just being with dad. Hallelujah. We got down there and ran into a relative, and he had been fishing in it wasn't even a pond. I don't know what in the world, kind of a creek as we called it. And he caught a catfish, sucker fish, bottom dweller. Well, he didn't want to eat it because it probably tasted like the dirt had been eaten. Hallelujah. But he said to my dad, "Do you want it?" Well, my dad was depression, right? Depression there. You don't throw nothing away. You don't throw your trash away. Amen. If he'd have known you were going to recycle it, he'd have collected it. Hallelujah. It's just a different area. You have to understand. So they said, "Do you want it?" He said, "Well," he said, "it'd be good fertilizer in the garden. Don't throw nothing away." So it was in a burlap bag, and he gave it to me to hold on to while he's driving the tractor because the tractor had to be in row gear. Now I'm a kid. This is in a burlap bag. Well, I put it down there, and it started moving. Well, brother, that's a good toy right there when you're 10, 12 years old. So I hugged it, and it started flopping around. I did that for all the way back, 2-3 miles, all the way back. Takes a while in road gear. Get all the way back. When I got back, my mom wouldn't even let me in the house. She hosed me off with the garden hose outside. No Evian water, no bottle, nothing. Just power spray. Hallelujah. Do you know what Peter, James, and John smelled like when Jesus met them? He gave them. I want to thank God today that God is a God of the common man. I want to thank God that Ray Bench doesn't have to be from the right side of the tracks to get the Holy Spirit to walk with me. I want to thank God that I don't have to have a master's degree, a college. I mean, I have a college degree, but you don't have to be, quote, sophisticated to get Jesus Christ to walk with you. Amen. You don't have to be something you're not to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we make this a little too fancy sometimes. Hallelujah. You know, there's an old Rocky movie. I'm going to date myself. Amen. But in one of the old Rocky movies, you know, the first movie he fights Apollo Creed. Second movie, that worked good, so that made money. So he fights Apollo Creed again. But come the third movie, they bring in this guy named Clubber Clang. Mr. T, his name was. And Rocky wants to fight this guy, and his coach, his manager, Mickey, says, "No," he says, "you can't fight him. I'm not going to help you." So, well, why not? He said, because you haven't been hungry for a fight since you won the title 10 fights ago. And he said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Rock," he said, "you became civilized." Now, it's a movie, so later on he had to fight him anyways because that's where the money is. But I pray to God the church never gets civilized. That we never lose the terror we were born in. That we never lose the fervency we were given. That we never lose the desire to just step into the ring with the devil for a round or six. And to just take him on. That this doesn't turn into a pretty boys club. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not against any of that. Don't hear me out. Because the next person that Jesus Christ anoints is Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew may be the first nerd to ever get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't know. It's my sermon. Just go with me. Praise God. Matthew could have thick glasses, white tape in the middle, big pocket protector. Hallelujah. Who doesn't have a blister in his life. Never. Every time he rose, say, "Ooh, gosh, it's hard. This hurts my back." But God anointed that man. God put this team together. You know who they were? They were a slice of human society. They were us. They didn't know everything. They didn't have pedigree. They didn't have connections at the temple. They didn't know the right people with the right side of the tracks. They were walking along, and Jesus Christ said, if you'll stick with me, I can do something with your life. Amen. They so fell in love with this Jesus, and he put his power on them that they turned the world upside down with the power of Jesus Christ. We won't go there tonight, but I love the story about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Bible says, you know, he ate locusts, amen, and had a leather belt. The Bible says, even Jesus said, when you went out to the wilderness to see John, what drew you out there? A reed shaking? You know, if you ever go to Israel and you start in Jerusalem, you go out to the Jordan River, you got to want to go there. Amen? If you're walking, this isn't I took the wrong exit and here I am at the Jordan River. It doesn't work like that. It's miles. You got to want to be there. So he's saying, what drew you out there? A reed shaking, did that mystify you? No. Then he says this. He says, a man in fancy clothes. The word that I use there for fancy is actually literally effeminate man. Did you go out to see a pretty boy? Is that what drew you all the way out there into the desert? He said, no, that wasn't John. But a prophet. Prophet of the Lord with the anointing and the power, and John preached fire. Jesus Christ himself seems to admit, you know, John was a little rough around the edges. I like the story about the king. He falls through the lattice and he gets hurt, and he sends his men not to the prophet to get healed, but to the enemy's camp to talk to the false gods. And on his way, Elijah meets him. He tells them, isn't there a prophet of the Lord? And go back and tell the king, and he gives them what he wants them to tell him. And they come back way earlier than what they should have been. And the king says, why are you here so early? He said, well, this guy met us in the way, and he sent us back. They said, well, what did he look like? Here's the description of the prophet. He was a hairy man. My God, he's a redneck. I'm in the right house. Hallelujah. This guy, he's not pretty. He's not sophisticated. He doesn't, you know what I'm talking about? But he is in their face. He is holy. He is walking with God. He's us. I want to just tell you, God called me one day as I was eating a peanut butter sandwich. I should have some big fancy story, right? I was eating a peanut butter sandwich on toast, minding my own business, and the Holy Spirit came in the room, and he said, I want you to teach. I said, absolutely not. I think I tell the story everywhere I go. But over the course of time, my contingency, my one agreement with God was, I said, now listen, I went back the next day. I said, okay, I'll teach you if you send me to someone who will show you how. You got to teach me how. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to teach something this year and find out next year it's wrong and I got to go back and fix it because I didn't do my due diligence before I ever got there. And so over the course of time, I went to go see a man named Lester Summerall preach in a church called Living Word International. The pastor's name there at that church was a guy by the name of Dr. Mark Barclay. And over the course of time, then I just stayed there. I just stayed there. And I was walking through my little trailer one night, and I know I'm called to preach, but nobody's calling me. I can't get anything to put together. I can't get this thing to gel. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me one night, and he takes me to Acts chapter 7. He said, go get your Bible. Let's talk for a minute. I'd be honored. Got my Bible, popped it open. I'm reading a story about Stephen. The Bible says, and they could not argue with the wisdom and the Spirit that came off of that man. He's a deacon in the church. He's not a preacher. You know, I know sometimes people say we shouldn't get into every argument, and there's a wisdom in that. But can I tell you this? God will anoint you to debate people. God will get involved with that. Paul stood up and made huge defense of the gospel right in the temple. Amen? Don't be afraid to just stand up and speak your peace in God. Amen? I know you can put too much salt on it, so you got to be careful about that. But we've been so quiet, we're in no danger of that. Hallelujah. Amen? 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 Some people say, you know, well, you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Well, that's not very many folks. Praise God. Amen. We could use some more of them. Praise the Lord. But this says that from this, can I call it this ragtag group? From this slice of human society, God began to put his power on them. Note, he didn't send them into the temple to get the anointing, where all the religious people were. He didn't tell them, you need to back up and go through all this pharisaical training. Nothing wrong with good Bible school. Get all the good Bible doctrine that you can. But never lose the fact that God wants to empower you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. When I began that night to read in Acts chapter 7, and I'm trying to get into the ministry and I'm trying to get things going, God sent me to the ministry of helps. That's what he began to talk to me about. He said, son, Stephan, Lord, where did Stephan learn to walk with you like this? He said, from being with his pastor, Peter. He didn't go to some Bible school somewhere. There's nothing wrong with a good Bible school. But he worked alongside of Peter. He quote, grew up taking care of the widows and cooking and working in the church. And in that, he put his hand on the power of the Almighty God. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. And it changed his life. Amen?
Amen?
That's what I want to talk to you about today. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel. Let's pick it up here at verse 16, or chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16. Let's go verse 3. This is the story of when Samuel the prophet is sent to Jesse. God says, you know, I'm going to provide myself a king from among his sons. If you read chapter 16, verse 1, Samuel begins to talk to God because Saul is so vicious. Let's look at verse 3 here. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one that I name to you. Okay? So Samuel's going there. He's gonna have this meeting, this church service, right? He's a traveling prophet. He worked out among all of the different cities. He goes to this city with the specific intent of meeting Jesse and then praying over his sons, amen, and anointing this one to be king. Let's move on. So Samuel did what the Lord said, and he went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, did you come peacefully? He said, I have come peacefully to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So Jesse's whole family, all his sons are invited to the sacrifice. Verse 6. And so it was when they came that he took Eliab and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. Isn't that good? It's not good that this guy's rejected, but I'm glad that you don't have to have a physical stature to walk with God. Can you say amen? I think God will walk with anybody, but you aren't counted out just because you aren't what people consider all that in a box of chips. Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm a simple guy. If you're waiting for big, deep Greek and Hebrew words, you'll have to wait, Pastor, to come back. Amen. That's just not my niche. Hallelujah. Because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And it goes on and it talks about him. And end of verse 12, it says, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. I think it's interesting. Jesse has eight sons. And they're supposed to all come to the temple or to the meeting to get prayed over. But Jesse doesn't even see a reason to invite David to the meeting. His own father sees no reason, like God would never use this kid to do anything. Why would I invite him? You know, you can't ever get discouraged because man doesn't see something in you. And God wants to do something in you. None of his brothers said, well, you know what, Dad, what about David? Why isn't David coming to the meeting? Nobody, it's as if I relate to David because I feel like this sometime. Man would have left me, Pastor, man would have left me hanging out to dry. Man saw nothing, there was nothing in Ray Bench that people said, gee, he could do something for God. No one stopped and said, don't go to have a church meeting without Brother Ray. He's going to really walk with God one day. Man would have left me outside to do all of the work while they went inside and did all of the fun and just left me out here to do the work that they don't want to do anymore. But God.
Amen.
Say, but God. But God looked down and said, no, just stop. Stop. Just Samuel, just stop the whole meeting. They didn't even invite the one. He isn't even in, he, to them, he isn't anything. Just stop. Don't do anything else until that kid gets in here. And I'm going to use him. But man said, there's nothing in David. Why would God use him? Sound like a family reunion to you? I want to praise God today that though man never saw anything in Ray Bench, I want to praise God today that nobody ever saw anything and said, Ray's going places. Ray's going to make something happen for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saw me outside working on my own. Jesus Christ saw me alone when no one was calling. Jesus Christ began to make a motion towards me and a step towards me. He said, stop the meeting. Stop what you're doing. Get a hold of Ray Bench and get him into the house of God. There's a king inside that kid. And I'm going to begin to bring it out. Him? Exactly him. I want to thank God today for the Peters, Jameses, and Johns. I want to thank God for the hairy man.
Yeah.
That can walk with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I want to thank God for the John the Baptists that are a little bit rough around the edges and a little bit gruff. And we're not quite perfect and we don't quite, you know, we're not just what sophisticated. But bless God, we haven't lost and become civilized yet either. We haven't lost our ability to draw the power of God. We haven't forgotten how to heal the sick and to cleanse the leper and to raise the dead. And we haven't stopped reaching out and helping people with the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember Pastor was doing a meeting down in Durham, North Carolina. Church was packed, 200, 250 people. It probably sat evenly, honestly, like 175, but they were wall-to-wall lined up, standing all over. But nobody was helping. I practically had to pass the plates, collect the envelopes. I mean, I'm a one-man band, like those old guys with the drums on their knees and all. I mean, brother, I'm doing everything. And pastor's laying hands on and I'm catching. We got people falling everywhere and nobody's helping and I'm running around like the village idiot trying to get all of this done. And in those days, when I traveled with him, he would be up late, so he'd have me check in with him first thing in the morning. Church was at like 10 o'clock. We had driven all day. You know, he didn't have a plane at that time. We had driven all day and got in late. Of course, he'll go meet with people and then he told me, he said, look, call me at 8 o'clock and make sure I'm rolling and let's get a plan for the morning and we'll get everything going. Pastor, I was so nervous I would do something wrong. I woke up at 5:30. I took a shower. I read my Bible. I put on my clothes. I ironed my shirt. I had my shoes and socks on and everything ready to go, my Bible, everything ready, and I just waited. No cell phones back in that day. How many remember, right?
Oh, yeah.
My bell was the only bell ringing. And I sat there and I waited. And 8 o'clock, ding, I called. Said, Dr. Barclay, this is Ray, just checking in for this morning. He said, thanks, and hung up. So there I sat, all ready to go for another hour and a half, trying, amen, not to wrinkle my clothes. But I began to cry out to God, God, would you help me see what he sees? I see him prophesy. I see him flow in the gifts. I see him be so anointed and know what to do. And I want to see something. I want to have a move of the Spirit. I don't know if this will make sense to anybody, but Pastor would always wear glasses when he preached. And sometimes I would step behind him when I was working the altar, and I would see if I could peek through his glasses to see if I could see what he was seeing in the Spirit. Because I didn't know. Well, I was hungry for God. How about you?
Amen.
I don't want to just be Ray.
Right.
World doesn't need just Ray.
Right. Come on.
How do I get into that spiritual realm? How do I step out of just natural and get into the power of the Holy Spirit?
Right.
And up there working that altar that day and doing all of those different things and catching, I'll never forget, he stopped and he said, I see this hammer in the Spirit. And when he said that, I didn't see the hammer, but I knew where the hammer was going. So I'm standing in front of him, kind of, you know, just with the chairs. Everybody's standing. It's packed wall to wall. And this person was kind of sitting over here about the third aisle, and I knew who it was. So I started making a beeline for the aisle, and I stopped to myself. I said, I can't beat the prophet to the prophecy. It's like, this isn't going to work. So I had to stop and let him pass me by, and then I went right in the row, and I knew exactly who the person was. And it was the beginning of power. It was the beginning of flowing in the Spirit. It was the beginning. But I didn't find it in a Bible school. I'm not against the Bible school. Hear my heart. I found it working the aisles and staying late and like Peter, James, and John rowing boats and handing out fish and loaves and not understanding things and asking dumb questions and being rebuked. And then how long must I be with you? And you know, all of these questions. I remember one time he said to me in a meeting, he said, you know, Ray, it's an awful cold day to be unemployed. I said, oh, Pastor, they hold the door for me anymore. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I've been in trouble so many times. I'm ready for you. Go ahead. And I for a season, I held the record of the most rebuked man at Mark Barclay Ministries. But I'd be glad to give you my title. Hallelujah. But in the middle of all of that, God began to stir. God began to move. I began to see things and to know things. I began to have my eyes open to the spirit realm. I'll never forget standing one morning. I had a house payment coming up on a Tuesday, and I didn't have the money. Have you ever been there? I got 2 days to come up with all the whole month's payment. And I was off of staff, and I had a business partner kick me to the curb and stab me in the back. And, you know, people are people. And so I'm standing looking out the front door of my house. I had just built it a few years before. My son Nathan was in flight school. Some of you know Nate. So I wasn't paying so much for the flight school, but I was helping him every month with his room and board. And, you know, the money's tighter than tight. And I'm standing there, and I said, God, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose his house if I don't. I got to come up with this money. And this window, I'm looking out my front window, and this window opens in the Spirit, and the Lord points to this old junk truck somebody had given me. Had a hole in the floorboard, old granny gear, 3-speed, you know, plus the granny gear. You're too young, never mind. And I mean, you could pull if you could put the Eiffel Tower on a trailer, that truck could have pulled it up the road. 4 miles an hour. But it was going. And so that thing just kind of outlived its usefulness. Actually, I got pulled over by a cop, and he said it wasn't roadworthy. I said, well, I know that part. Hallelujah. Amen. It's got a hole in the floorboard. I had to put my boot in it to stop water from splashing up inside. Amen. I felt like Fred Flintstone with a rock. I just put a rock in there and slow it down. Amen. So, you're too young to know who Fred Flintstone is, isn't he? Never mind. I got a friend. Hallelujah. So I'm standing out the front window and I'm looking. I said, God, what in the world am I going to do? And this window of the Spirit opens up and I see this old truck. I got to get rid of it anyways. And the Lord said, just take that in for scrap metal. And it closes. Didn't take 3 seconds. I thought to myself, I actually said to God, I said, this can't be that easy. That can't be. So Monday morning came along, and I got on the phone. I called a scrap yard about 25, 30 minutes away, and I said, are you taking trucks? What's your, you got to have a title. I said, I got a title. It's paid for. I said, yeah, it's given to me. There's nobody going to put a loan on this. Hallelujah. They said, you got to take the gas tank out and drain it, make sure. So I had already drained the tank. I knew it didn't have any gas in it. That was easy. And they said, just take it out. The guys will understand. The gas tank was still behind the driver's seat. That's how old this thing was, right? We're going back a ways. So I said, well, that's gravy. All I got to do is unbolt it, throw it in the front seat. We're good. And I had some other junk metal I threw in the back of the truck, pushed it up on a trailer and drove it up there. And scrap metal had tripled that day. And in one day of just doing something I had to do anyways, my entire house payment came in about 2 hours. But I began to see that it didn't matter what Satan did to me. It didn't matter what people did to me. It didn't matter what life dealt me. That this God would always protect me and always take care of me.
Amen.
No matter how difficult things got, that Jesus Christ would always come through for me. Do you know where I learned it? I learned it catching people at the altars. I learned it working alongside a pastor. I learned it driving through the night and not understanding things and being man enough to get back up off of the floor after I made a mistake. Have you ever?
Sure.
I love the story about Joshua when he goes and the hailstones come and all of that. But if you read Joshua chapter 10 a little bit earlier than that, that's when he makes a covenant with the wrong people. He's just made the biggest mistake of his ministry life. And yet God doesn't throw him to the side and say, that's it, you're no good, I'm done with you, Joshua. God says, I can still use you, let's go, pick yourself up. And when Joshua begins to go, then the power begins to flow again. I want to thank God today that he's a God of the common man. I want to thank God today that I don't have to be superficial, super special, some great gift that nobody's ever had before. I can literally be David who nobody knows. But God wants to walk with you today.
Amen.
God wants to anoint you to heal the sick today. God wants to anoint you to cleanse the leper today. If you won't cut corners, and you just get busy working in the church and doing your part and maybe not understanding everything and maybe understanding things, and there's days you're challenged and there's days you enjoy it and there's days you don't enjoy it. I don't want to raise any hands, but amen, especially from the pastors. But you understand every day isn't hallelujah.
That's right.
But if you can just learn to keep going, we won't get there for the sake of time. I need to start wrapping up, but there's a beautiful story in the book of 2 Samuel. It's a story about when David's later years, his son Absalom goes against him and tries to take over the kingdom.
Right.
And David sends his men into battle to defend the kingdom and what they have going. And in the fervor, David says to his men, now look, don't kill Absalom. He's my son, he's an idiot, but he's still my son. We'll leave that one alone. Hallelujah. So in their fervency, Joab, who's been with David at this point for decades, he's so angry that when Absalom's hair gets caught in it, he thinks he can run the kingdom, but he can't even run a mule right. And he gets his hair caught and he's stuck there. And they are so aggressive at this point, adrenaline running, they kill him anyways. And now they have to go back and tell David what's happened. Joab comes along and there's two runners. I just kind of make this brief, but I want to bring this out. There's this guy named Cushai from Cushite. He's not really, his name isn't Cushai. We just, because he's from the city of Cush. Hallelujah. I don't know what his name was. And there's another guy by the name of Ahimaaz standing there. And Ahimaaz says to Joab, the general, he says, let me run and take news back. He said, no, he said, you can't. The king's son is dead. So he turns to the second runner named Cushai and he says, you run. So he bows down out of respect and off he goes. He starts running. This Ahimaaz, he says, look, I want to run. And Joab says, why? I've already sent a runner. Well, but I want to run. Why would you run? You don't have any messengers. There's nothing for you to run with. Well, I want to run. fine, run, go ahead. And off he goes. And as the first runner's going along their Cushai, Ahimaaz zips past him. And as he keeps running, then Ahimaaz, the second runner, who's now first, he gets there. They open up the gates, and he says, David says, you know, what's happened? He says, we won the war. That's good. What about my son Absalom? And Ahimaaz says to David, he says, I don't know what happened, which is a lie. He does know what happened. And the second runner comes in there, Cushai, and he's slower. He's running along, and David says to him, he says, what news do you bring? He said, you won the war. He said, that's good. What about my son? And he makes a statement. He says, David, king, may all your enemies be as that young man, which is the most respect, polite way for him to say, king, your son's dead. I know you don't want to hear this, but that's what's happened. Now, I'm thinking about this. Pastor, we were talking about this. This has been so in my heart. It keeps coming out whether I mean for it to or not. Right now, if you talk to me about the wood in the ark, I would tell you about Cushai and Ahimaaz because that's what's in my spirit right now. Amen? But I got thinking about that because Cushai didn't ask to run. Joab sent him. I didn't ask to preach. Maybe you didn't ask to be the head of the music team. Maybe you didn't ask to be the head of the nursery. You didn't beg him, please, can I be in charge of the sound? But I didn't ask God to be in the ministry. He came to me and said, run. All right. So I picture myself, and here I am running, and this other guy, he zips past me. Now, I know what I would have done. I would have stopped running and said, well, obviously Joab changed his mind, sent this guy, because he's better than me. So I'll just go back and I'll wait for the next message. I know me. That's what I would have done. This guy, he should have been called. He wanted to do this. Why didn't Joab send him knowing that he's faster? Somehow that old army general Joab knew this kid doesn't have the guts to look David in the face and tell him the news he doesn't want to hear. He's pretty. He's got a nice stride. He's got a nice set of tennis shoes and a nice track suit. Long hair flowing in the breeze. But he's got no guts. He's got no guts. He's useless when it comes to telling people what they don't want to hear. He always has to be popular and he always has to be liked. I'll never forget the Lord dealt with me one day. He said, you have need of endurance. That after you have obeyed God, that you might obtain the promises of God. I thought, Lord, I don't think I want endurance. I would just like my blessings right now. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you know God doesn't listen to me that often? Hallelujah. Over the time, I don't know how this deals anybody else, but it blesses me. When I compare myself to other ministries or ministers, they're better at this than I am. They make it look good. At my age, they have thousands of people and thousands of followers and all of this and all of that. I'll tell you the difference between me and them. They're not going to get on national TV and look America in the face and call her to repentance. It's always going to be some pretty message, and I'm not against the pretty message if that's the message that God sent you to run with. But isn't somebody going to look these people in the face and say, hey, we are doing this to ourselves. We are causing our own nightmares around here. We have got to get back to the house of God and do a thing called repent. This is not just about money and prosperity now, folks. This is the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And call America back to the God who birthed her. Amen? That's what's got to begin to happen. I don't know about any of the other ministers. I get even at the church in Midland, you know, that before the services, well, all the ministers will go back in the prayer room and meet and pray. I've never felt so out of place in my entire life. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm trying just not to drop something on my clothes. Amen? Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about? I go with my wife, Janine, and somebody took us to a nice restaurant. You know, they got too many forks. I don't need all these. If you look the other way, I don't even need a fork. Hallelujah. So, I'm such a redneck. Somebody said to me the other day, said, I don't really like wearing ties. I said, brother, I don't like shoes. What? If you really want to get down to it, hallelujah, you ask my wife. I'm not in, after church, I'm not in the house 10 seconds. My shoes and socks are off. Amen. The day I met my wife, Janine, I had done a speech for class. And so you had to dress up. And on my way home, I took my shoes and socks off. I tied them in a knot, threw them over my shoulder. And I was walking across campus barefoot when she met me. And God said, run. Run with this preacher. I've seen pastors, I've seen helps people come and go over the course of 30-some years being with pastors. All big talk, all pretty, all nice. I'm not against the pretty and the nice, don't get me wrong. But no guts, no determination, no draw, no zeal. No, I can get up early and I can stay here late. I remember pastor was out in California. We had gotten up that morning. I got up about 4 in the morning. And I got to the church, got a bunch of stuff done, got out. We got the ministry plane prepped and ready to go. And at that time, it was a single pilot plane and flew out there. And we worked the whole day, the meeting, you know, L.A. traffic and all the nonsense. And we got pastor in his room, and Josh and I, his pastor's son, Josh and I, were in the hotel elevator going up, finally at the close of the night. He looked at me, he said, Ray, what time did you get up this morning? I said, 4 o'clock. He looked at his watch. It was 1 o'clock in California, which is 4 in the morning. He said, you know, you've been up for 24 hours straight. I never asked for time and a half. I never said, you know, I'm over my allotment. I said, God, if you'd open my eyes to see what that man sees, I'd do anything. I'd do anything to walk in your power and to help your people, to heal the sick and to cleanse the leper. And working there and doing things like that, I found the power of Jesus Christ to help his people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want to just encourage you today. Maybe you're not the best. Maybe you're not the fanciest. Maybe we're not the prettiest. But let's not get civilized. I love what David said when they said, you know, that when his wife said, you know, oh, look how you dance before the Lord or the people today. You look how undignified you were. It's almost like the devil was testing him to see if he was politically correct just yet. If he was done cooking them in this popularity contest to be the king. Or is he done baking yet that I can get him? And David said, I will be yet more undignified. It was before God who chose me instead of your father, sweetheart. I'll dance before God anytime I want to because he picked me instead of your dad.
Amen.
Close your eyes with me, everybody. Lord, I want to thank you for you. I want to thank you that we don't always have to be the best, the biggest, the brightest. We want to be. But Lord, we're going to be faithful to your call. We're going to be sure-footed. When you call us morning, noon, or night, we're going to row that boat. And when you put us on the side of the mountain like Joshua, we're going to stay there. We're not going to go down and party with the people, and we're not going to ban Moses because we don't understand things. We're going to stay where you placed us. Somehow, Lord Jesus, in all of that, as we begin to run, I ask you to put our hand on the pulse of the Holy Spirit of what you're doing in people's lives. Open our eyes that we might see what our leadership sees and that we might flow with your great Spirit. I give you praise and glory for it. All the health people, raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Ask the Lord to begin to anoint you now. Lord, anoint us to see, anoint us to see, anoint us to see. I can't flow with you if I don't know what you're doing. Anoint me, Lord Jesus, to see what you're doing in the house, to flow with pastor and to know the word of the Lord and to begin to lay hands on the sick and to cleanse the leper. Help me to get in the flow of your great spirit and to see the miracle working power of the Almighty God. Moses found it, working with Jethro. Elisha found it, working with Elijah. All these men and women were raised up working in the helps ministry. Peter's, James's, and John's, and Stephen's, and Philip's, and all Timothy's. It's working alongside of their pastors and helping. Help us, Lord Jesus, to find the pulse of the Holy Spirit and to get into our niche where we belong and to flow with great power in this day. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap, Pastor. Thank you for your time tonight.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.